Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today, January 7th, 2021. My name is Mike Twenge, the City Manager and the Emergency Services Director. Again this morning, the Emergency Services Council met and discussed the State of Alaska vaccination plan. There seems to be a flood of activity right now at the COVID Vax website. There's a new timeline out, Phase 1B, Tier 1. Those are Alaskans 65 and older. You could begin scheduling vaccinations yesterday, Wednesday, January 6th. Alaskans 65 years of age or older can schedule appointments by visiting covidvax.alaska.gov. Vaccinations for older Alaskans 65 and older will now begin January 11th. So choose an appointment for Monday, January 11th or later. Some Alaskans in future phases may have already made appointments. If you're in Phase 1B, Tier 1, you do not need to cancel your appointment. If you are not in healthcare or 65 or older as defined by Phase 1A or Phase 1B, Tier 1, please cancel your appointment so Alaskans in the earlier tiers can make appointments. New appointments will be added regularly as more vaccine providers sign up and more vaccine is available. Additional information about the COVID-19 vaccine and Alaska's distribution plans may be found at covidvax.alaska.gov. There's been trouble at times with the DHSS vaccine website, but keep trying. Again, it's www.covidvax.alaska.gov. And locally, the vaccine has been a recent topic of interest as expected, and our local healthcare providers are working to see the vaccine become available to all when their time comes. Right now, we have Safeway Pharmacies, Kodiak Area Native Association, Kodiak Island Ambulatory Care Clinic authorized to administer the vaccine. Kodiak Providence Island Medical Center, Clinic is vaccinating their staff or other medical personnel and the Elder House. I understand Kodiak Community Health Center is requesting to become an authorized vaccine provider as well. So for the general public, you have two options. Safeway Pharmacies is currently only taking appointments for Mondays, so they are booked for a while. Register at the COVID Vax website. Please do not call them. The current procedure for an appointment with Dr. Kohler at Kodiak Island Ambulatory Care Clinic is to call them at 907-486-6188 to schedule a vaccine. Again, that's 486-6188, schedule a vaccine. Calling in and scheduling streamlines the process for them. Kodiak Island Ambulatory Care Clinic is booking up quickly also, and their appointments depend on how many vaccines they get. Currently, the state has 52,400 Moderna doses allocated and 62,400 Pfizer doses allocated for a total of 114,800 doses. Statewide, 20,775 doses have been administered. We want to make sure the community is aware that the state of Alaska is using a phased approach to allocate the initial limited supply of COVID-19 vaccine to Alaskans. At the national level, allocation recommendations are being made by the Centers for Disease Control's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. The providers are working to administer the doses they are authorized to administer as quickly as possible. The providers are excited to see how many people want the vaccine and are doing everything they can to meet the need given the state authorizations. And I hear recently the state of Alaska is ranked 5th in vaccine distribution per capita. Not bad. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services told me recently that Kodiak would need to reach 80% vaccination rate to achieve strong COVID protection. Locally, the COVID-19 case count appears to be dropping. The daily count is located on the local COVID dashboard. As numbers come in from all testing resources, they are updated to the dashboard. More interesting to me is not the total reported for the day, but the actual cases per day. As you note, our COVID releases show new reported cases per day and the total reported count, but some are reported days after the test results. This is how the information comes into public health. Not all positive tests are reported the same day. School intends to open for in-person classroom education on January 11th, and that is celebratory. This community has made good headway lately in controlling this nasty virus. You may also want to visit the Kodiak Island Borough School District dashboard to see additional school district news. And as you know, today we're reporting 5 cases. 1 is community transmission, 2 are close contact, and 2 were travel related. We have 62 active cases right now, and 2 people are hospitalized because of COVID complications here at Providence. There are airport greeters at each Alaska Airlines flight informing passengers to take COVID precautions upon arrival. There has been an average of 53 arrivals per flight over the past 5 days. Community came together during the recent holidays to deliver food and other forms of assistance to those homebound or otherwise in need. This is a reflection of the kind support available from agencies and individuals we call our neighbors. Let's continue to care about our neighbors and everyone's health. Wear the mask. Keep your social bubbles close to home. Please stay home if you are sick. You just never know about someone near you that may be caring for an elderly person or someone with a severe health risk. We have gone too far into this pandemic to stop now. The vaccine will help to protect us, but until then, keep yourself and those around you from becoming a close contact. That's all I have, and we'll return again next Thursday for another community update. So be safe, Kodiak. Thank you.
The Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization has announced 5 new COVID-19 cases for the Kodiak Island Borough. Among these were 2 close contact cases, 1 community transmission case, and 1 travel-related case. This brings the total case count to 951 cases in the Kodiak Island Borough since the start of the pandemic, with 62 cases classified as active locally. There have been 39 hospitalizations to date, with 2 patients currently hospitalized. There have been 5 deaths due to COVID-19 locally since the start of the pandemic. After a day in which an angry mob stormed Capitol Hill, Kodiak supporters of President Trump staged a protest of their own against the results of the presidential election. About 20 pickup trucks converged at the Dockside Gazebo downtown at about 5:30 last night. There were no speeches and no overarching conversation. The drivers stayed mostly inside their vehicles. After about 20 minutes, the trucks set out from St. Paul Harbor in a motorcade with cars honking and flags waving. About half of them sported either American flags or some from the Trump campaign. One even had a Whataburger, Texas flag. As the pandemic boomed through the spring and summer, doctors and other health professionals needed to lay track in front of an already moving train. State health officials quickly ramped up a video conference platform already in use at universities. KUAC's Robin talked with one of the hosts who went from quiet student life to monitoring seminars with hundreds of participants almost overnight.
Since the pandemic began, Alaska health officials started using the ECHO video conference platform to share information with the public. Jose Flores of the Center for Human Development says the platform's acronym, ECHO, stands for Extension for Community Healthcare Outcomes.
It started in New Mexico back in 2003, if I'm correct, and it started with the hepatitis C pandemic.
Now UAA is one of 14 super hubs for ECHO online sharing. If you've ever been invited to a COVID call or watched one on Facebook Live, you see a person from the University of Alaska Anchorage's Center for Human Development hosting the discussion. For many of those calls, Jose Flores is the host.
Most of the echoes that I currently do are COVID related, but there are also other echoes, such as the mental health and developmental disability echo, pain and opioid management echo, there is a family echo, and a few others.
Flores says he lost his bartending job in the pandemic, and a teacher pointed him at the job hosting online discussions.
I've been going to school over at UAA, getting a degree in human services, and I was bartending as well. And when the pandemic hit, the restaurant, laid off, I want to say over 90% of their employees.
So Flores went from being unemployed to working from home 10 hours a day, hosting hundreds of people on each call.
Then I just ended up working with these really knowledgeable and great public health people that we have in the state and turn into this thing that I was not expecting it would turn into, which is what 2020 has been like, really.
And the seminars hosted by the Center for Human Development that are just about COVID-19 include one for Alaska schools, one for houses of worship, one for ambulance personnel, one for dentists, one for caregivers, one for contact tracers, one for people hosting large gatherings, sports, and community events, and of course, now, several times a week, one about vaccines.
Vaccine Echo is currently our highest attended, anywhere from 500 to, like, I don't know, 1,200 people sometimes, because everyone wants to know what's the latest on the vaccine.
Flores says there's a whole Echo team that facilitates the connections and maintains the technology. He says the Center for Human Development is short-staffed and is trying to hire more people. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The appointment process to get vaccinated against COVID-19 opened up on Wednesday for Alaska's roughly 90,000 seniors over 65. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports it didn't go smoothly.
John Palms is 74 years old and lives in Juneau. He decided to get up early on Wednesday to try to beat the rush to get a vaccination appointment. He went to the website that public health officials have been steering eligible people like him to, covidvax.alaska.gov, that's V-A-X. He clicked a link to schedule an appointment.
First, I found a bewildering map. No way to know what to do when I got there.
It's a map of the state with pins for individual pharmacies and healthcare providers that intend to administer the vaccine. Eventually, he found 6 pins in Juneau. Click on a pin, and you get some contact info for each provider and a link to their website. So it's basically a directory, not a centralized booking site like Palms and others were expecting.
It took hours, and I finally figured it out. I signed up, but I had no idea whether I could have gotten an injection earlier someplace else because there's no central coordination of anything, it doesn't look like.
The forms on different websites seemed broken in various ways. In the end, he got an appointment the old-fashioned way.
When I was on the phone, it was impossible on the web.
If you tried Palm's approach with Ron's apothecary shop in the afternoon, you might have heard this.
Due to the high demand and call volume for the COVID-19 vaccine, we're currently unable to take verbal requests at this time.
The message says they don't have any vaccine, but we'll know more in several days. Juneau Senator Jesse Keel said Wednesday he was hearing similar stories all afternoon.
I've been getting calls and emails and Facebook messages and texts from senior citizens and from some of their children, probably a couple of dozen, I think. A lot of frustration. And I think the department stumbled on this.
That's the Department of Health and Social Services. Tessa Walker-Linderman with the department leads a state COVID-19 vaccination task force.
The bottom line is that we had a limited amount of appointments and a lot of people wanted to make an appointment.
She wasn't aware of any system-wide technical problems. She and other state health officials in a press availability on Wednesday acknowledged it's been bumpy and cumbersome for users. They had considered a single vaccine appointment system, but healthcare providers wanted to use their own. Public health advisor Kelsey Pistotnik explains.
This is a really challenging time for our providers, and they are trying to navigate so much right now. And so I think we really just came from that standpoint of, can we just make one part of this easy for them? That if they already have a system in place that they are familiar with, that, you know, can we do that? But I think we do need to go back to the drawing board a bit here and see what we can do on the user perspective, just to make sure we can button this up a little better so that it's not quite as cumbersome.
They say part of the challenge has been getting more healthcare providers up to speed to administer the vaccine. More clinics, providers, and appointments will be added to the site as they come online. And some communities are stepping in with mass vaccination events. Juneau has one planned for mid-January, if the vaccine shows up. It would be the first in the state. Health officials say Anchorage, Matsu, Fairbanks, and Kenai may follow. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink says the decision to open up this broad tier of eligibility for Alaskans 65 and older came last week, as demand from the last tier was falling off and vaccination appointments were opening up.
Do we want to be able to do this a bit faster? It's going to mean it's going to be a rough week and it's not going to have enough vaccine. And people are going to be frustrated because we would love it to be perfect. We would love for everyone to have spots available and all be able to set and roll out. But we also don't want vaccine just sitting there with administrators who are being able to administer it without moving forward.
For some perspective, she says this is only the third week of vaccinations, and Alaska is fifth in the nation for vaccinations per capita. She also offered an apology.
We understand that it's an imperfect system, and we are sorry for that, and we are constantly trying to improve the system.
John Palms, the exasperated 74-year-old, he has an appointment set for next week. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The city and borough of Juneau tentatively plans to hold its mass vaccination event for people 65 and up on January 15th, 16th, and 17th. Help navigating the vaccination process is also available at 907-646-3322. The events at the U.S. Capitol were condemned by Alaska state political leaders Wednesday. Some reflected on what it means for American politics. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Hearing the news of the violence in the U.S. Capitol reminded Kodiak Republican Senator Gary Stevens of an experience he had as an Army lieutenant in 1968. His battalion was called into Washington, D.C. after the assassination of Martin Luther King, Jr.
Watching TV today reminded me just exactly of those days. Took me right back to the concerns we had. You know, there were people who were rioting and causing disturbances and burning buildings. I mean, I remember driving through the city and we had troops at every corner with rifles.
But Stevens says there is an important contrast.
Simply, it was violence because of the way Black Americans have been treated, and Martin Luther King was, of course, a big spokesman, and so that death was taken personally by a lot of people. This is different. This is sedition, I think, when there's an attempt to overthrow the government.
Stevens also was called into the Washington, D.C. area when anti-Vietnam War protesters marched on the Pentagon. He says there are lessons from that time that still apply.
You don't need to be violent. You don't need to burn and destroy things. That you can peacefully show your disobedience and cause things to change.
Stephen says he's become more patriotic as he's become older, but questioned what has gone wrong in the country that led to Wednesday's events. Stevens chairs the Legislative Council, which is preparing for the upcoming session. He says it's worth discussing whether security should be added at the Alaska State Capitol, but he says he's not personally concerned and that the Capitol in Juneau has not had major safety issues in his 20 years as a legislator. It was quiet in the Capitol in Juneau through early Wednesday afternoon, with only a small, brief pro-Trump protest outside the building, according to a security officer. Larger rallies occurred in other state capitals. House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent, also reacted to the news.
Well, the whole spectacle was appalling on one hand. It was bone-chillingly frightening on the other hand. And then afterwards, to have a few hours to reflect on it, I'm left to just sort of stand back and think, boy, I hope this is a wake-up call for our country.
Republican Governor Mike Dunleavy commented on the events on social media. He wrote, quote, "Acts of violence have no place in our great country. Republicans are the party of law and order. These few extremists do not represent our values." The governor says he and his wife, Rose Dunleavy, are praying for the safety of those in the area of the U.S. Capitol. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Murkowski ran for her life at one point. She doesn't mind telling you it was frightening.
Yeah, I was scared. I was scared for the country. But I'm going to be going to bed tonight knowing that we're going to get through this too.
Murkowski has a tiny satellite office known as a hideaway on a lower level of the Capitol, facing the mall. She was there when the mob first breached the outside barriers. As it happens, her windows are temporarily blocked by the risers erected for Biden's inauguration. So her hideaway didn't get vandalized like the offices on the level above.
I've got pictures of these huge, beautiful, rounded, curved windows that have been smashed in and are now all boarded up, the glass everywhere, furniture thrown wildly.
She was in the Senate chamber when the insurgents stormed the Capitol building. Murkowski says they were told to evacuate quickly.
And that's when it gets a little scary because everyone is trying to move all at the same time.
The senators and staff were directed to an underground tunnel to one of the Senate office buildings. In the mass of people, Murkowski saw Senator Dan Sullivan a few steps ahead of her. She says she put her arm through his.
We went hand in hand running. He's pretty fit, and I was wearing good running shoes today. So we set the pace. We got to the secure area before anybody else.
From there, Murkowski says they saw the horrors unfold on video. To Alaskans who believe the president's false claims, Murkowski says the election was not fraudulent. There were some problems in some parts of the country, Murkowski says, but nothing significant enough to change the election outcome.
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been duly elected.
She says it's important that the House and Senate went back into session once the invasion was put down. The mob, she says, can delay proceedings, but the mob does not rule. Reporting from the U.S. Capitol, I'm Liz Ruskin.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Where do most fishermen live in Alaska? And who's the biggest beneficiary of Alaska's fisheries? More fish facts after this.
Seafood Auction says thanks to longline fishermen and seafood buyers for a successful 2020 season and looks forward to working together again in 2021. Learn more at seafoodauction.net.
Want to know where most fishermen live in Alaska or what community is home to the most fishing boats? United Fishermen of Alaska has just released its updated fishing facts for every region of Alaska plus the West Coast. The facts are updated through 2018, the most complete year available. At a glance, they show that nearly 8,700 permit holders fished in 2018. Just over 6,000 were Alaska residents. Over 21,000 crew licenses were purchased that year, split almost evenly between resident and non-residents. Alaska's seafood industry employed nearly 59,000 direct jobs, more than any other private sector. Homer is home to 615 fishing boats, and nearly 20% of its population fishes, earning $69 million in 2018. A total of 636 vessels call Kodiak Island home, and over 1,000 residents fish there, or 17.3% of the population. At Petersburg, nearly 24% of the population fishes for a living on 620 home-ported boats. Only 9 permit holders fished out of Dutch Harbor in Alaska, but its 8 big processing plants helped generate $8.2 million in fishery taxes, both to the region and the state. The state of Washington continues to be the biggest beneficiary of Alaska's fisheries. Over 6,047 Washington residents plus crew fished in Alaska in 2018. Of Alaska's total harvest of roughly 5.7 billion pounds, 4 billion pounds went to Washington residents. And of the total dockside value of over $1.9 billion, Washingtonians pocketed $900 million. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good day, and it's time for the Island Messenger. The Kodiak Archipelago Cooperative Weed Management is a partnership between different entities and landowners to manage invasive plants on all the islands of Kodiak. Invasive species can threaten wildlife and fish habitat, poison livestock, and degrade ecosystems. This meeting is free and everyone is welcome. Let's protect our natural resources and native habitat together. For more information and to receive the Zoom link for the meeting on January 26th from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m., email Danielle Butts, that's D-A-N-I-E-L-L dot B-U-T-T-S, at kodiaksoilandwater.org. A notice of Kodiak Island Borough meetings tonight. There will be a 6:30 p.m. teleconference assembly regular meeting. A Monday, January 11th at 6:30 p.m. teleconference consolidated committee meeting. Tuesday, January 12th at 5:30 p.m. a Women's Bay Fire Hall, Women's Bay Service Area Board meeting. And Thursday, January 14th at 6:30 p.m. via teleconference, an assembly work session. All public meetings will be live streamed through the KIB website, and assembly regular meetings are also broadcast here on KMXT 100.1 FM. There is a Caregiving 101 Activities of Daily Living meeting from Saturday, January 9th, 1 to 2:30 p.m. online via Zoom. Bathing, dressing, eating, using the bathroom. These basic daily activities can drastically change for our loved ones when dementia is present. Join dementia educator Gay Wellman, an Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska, Saturday, January 9th at 1 p.m. via Zoom and learn helpful tips and tools on making these activities easier for caregivers and more pleasant for our loved ones. Register or find out more information on our Facebook Events ALZ Alaska page or our calendar of events on our website, alzalaska.org. For additional inquiries, contact Gay Wellman at gwellman, W-E-L-L-M-A-N, at alzalaska.org or call 907-822-5620. Online Zoom drawing classes, Drawing with Bonnie Dillard, Wednesdays, January 13th, January 20th, and January 27th, 5 to 7 p.m. online via Zoom. These classes are based on the concept that anyone can learn to draw using exercises from Drawing on the Right Side of the Brain by Betty Edwards. Students will complete activities that encourage a new, more deliberate way of seeing. We will explore pencil and charcoal drawing. This course is open to individuals 14 and up. Students 12 and 13 years old are welcome to register with an adult. This class will be conducted on Zoom. You'll receive an email with joining instructions the day before the class begins. You'll need a sketchbook and pencils. Class fee of $65. With questions, contact Heather, 907-486-1212, or hlcorriere at alaska.edu. Online yoga classes, Saturdays, January 16th, January 23rd, January 30th, and February 6th, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. online via Zoom. For Saturdays, this class will focus on yoga's physical exercises, breathing, and concentration techniques as an approach to wellness taught by Dana Brockman, who has taught yoga for over 20 years. This course is open to individuals 14 and up and will be best for those who have had some previous experience with yoga. Yoga props can be loaned. There is a class fee of $40. For questions, contact Heather at 907-486-1212. Or hlcorriere at alaska.edu. And the city of Kodiak has a Christmas tree recycling program. Happy Orthodox Christmas today. The city of Kodiak is encouraging residents to recycle their Christmas trees, saving landfill space and disposal costs. Residents can recycle their trees by dropping them off at the vacant lot located at 319 Lower Mill Bay Road between the fire station and the post office, or the also known as the old library site, after December 30th. Please note that the trees must have all decorations, ornaments, tinsel, lights, and stands removed. They will not accept artificial or flock trees and wreaths. Okay, excuse us, folks. We seem to be having a bit of in-house technical difficulties, but this will give me ample time to get into Kodiak's weather. Presently today, here in Kodiak, it is 39 degrees Fahrenheit. Rain with a high near 39, a north wind of 15 to 20 miles per hour, decreasing to 10 to 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 80%. For tonight, showers likely mainly after 3 a.m., cloudy with a low around 36, east wind of 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming northwest after midnight. Chance of precipitation is 60%.